Hello and welcome to Let's Talk About It podcast. I am your host, Apostle Rosemary. This is my wonderful, awesome husband, Apostle Herbie. He is the co-host of our podcast for our ministries, which is RCN Ministries and OSGA Apostolic Network. We're coming to you today with a topic that's very close to both of our hearts. This is a topic that really needs to be discussed. And as anyone knows, our podcast is based on our topics are based on faith, family, and focus. And we also deal with the issues that a lot of churches or Christians may seem or think that are taboo. So we're going to expose some things. We're going to talk about some things that many can relate to. And this is going to be identifying some things when it comes down to our topic, which is the castration of men. So we pray that you all are blessed on today here on our podcast this morning. And we pray that you're able to go back, look at it, listen to it on our YouTube channels or our Facebook, and just have an opportunity to ingest what we're saying and pray that your hearts, your minds, and your spirits can digest it. This is a tool that is going to be able to be used by couples, husbands, and wives. Some things that we as women have to look at because anyone who really knows me, you know, we all know that the man or the husband, the father, the priest of the household, they are the head. But some women are very strong. I'm one of those women, but I identify who Apostle Herbie is. I respect him as the husband, as the high priest and man of God. I respect him as the father figure, as the disciplinary. I respect him as all of those things. And so what happens is we cohesively are able to bond together in oneness, because the word of God tells us that when we marry, that two flesh becomes one flesh. So we're intertwined, we're joined, and Jesus is that three-string cord that fits it all together. And so a lot of marriages are struggling. People of God are struggling in the marriages, both men and females, or men and women, male and female. And so we're going to hope and pray that this just illuminates and help many people that are dealing with some issues. So as we begin to start here, we're going to expose the plot, the plan, and the scheme of the enemy, which is to destroy families. But God intended for the family to be whole in him. What we're dealing with the castration of men, it deals with the emasculation of men. When there is no father in the home and in the lives of the children, there is a void of what God intended for families. We need to understand something, women of God. Even though you may be like me, you may be a strong neck, but you have to understand something. He is still the head, even when it comes to ministry in the household. And I know that some women may say, oh, you know what? But my husband's not there yet. My husband's not saved yet. You know, you may be going through some things like that. So you know what I would say? Pray for them. Seek God. Put them in the hands of the Father. You keep living for God, but you live a lifestyle that's pleasing. You live a lifestyle of a virtuous woman, not just when you're in church, but when you're at home as well. You're supposed to be the helpmate. That's who God created us to be for the husband. So because you're supposed to be the helpmate, let us be the helpmate. Let us uplift them. Let us undergird them. Let us push them. Let us be the catalyst. Let us speak well to them. Let us speak love to them. Let us nurture them. Let us uphold them. Let us encourage them. The one thing that I've noticed that a lot of women that are strong women and even women that are in the church, they become almost masculine, where they take on the role of the head of the household, but we are not the head. We're just a strong neck. And as soon as we can begin to identify this, then we've already won half the battle, because there's not a tug of war that's going on in the family and in the relationship. Amen. Amen. Apostle Herbie, I'll turn it over to you. Amen. Is there anything you want to say before we jump into some more?
No, go ahead.
Okay. Go ahead right here. The roles of the father.
The roles of the father. The roles of the father play. Play can the life... Playing the lives of his family a provider, a protector, a leader, a teacher, a helper, encourager, and friends. We have some.
When we think about the provider, you know, the man goes out, he is the one that's going to make sure that the household is taken care of, that the bills are paid. He provides for his wife. He provides for the household. He makes sure that he is the one that is the burden bearer. When we look at the protector, when you think about protector, Apostle Herbie, what do you think about?
He's shielding you. Mm-hmm. He's covering you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what happens is that we try our best to protect our children from hurt, harm, and danger. And also in marriages.
Mm-hmm. So your spouse as well.
So the spouse as well.
Okay.
Oh, go ahead.
Another thing is a father needs to be present. A lot of times, because of relationship and because of different things that go on within a relationship, a lot of times a father is not present. The father's not present because sometimes they can't get along with the mother. They can't co-parent in the same household. So there's a lot of statistically divorces that happen, even here in America. Apostle Herbie and I were looking over the statistics of the rate of divorces and what happens to the children. The percentage of how many women file, mostly the women files for the divorce. But then, you know, you think about it, usually the woman ends up with the children. So the woman is the custodial parent. And then the father ends up being a non-custodial parent. Sometimes it's different, but almost over 75, 80% of the time, it's the woman that ends up being the custodial parent. But then we begin to understand that then there's a void in the household. So then that child or those children, they lose the provider at home. They lose their protector, and they lose the opportunity of their father being present in their lives. So when this happens, that, my people of God, is a form of castration. That is a way of that a man has suffered with emasculation, because what God created him for now has been cut off. It's been nullified. And now he's got to go through the courts. He's got to go through all of these different procedures in order to maybe get every other weekend or something like that. So when we are people of God, we've got to learn to co-labor, but we've also got to learn to co-parent. We've also got to learn what it means to give and to take. Marriage is not 100% all the time. Sometimes it may be 80% on Apostle Herbie, 20% on me, or it may be 75% on me, 25% on him. We just kind of flex it, I would say, Apostle Herbie, on what we need to do and how we need to do it. And it works for us. It works for us because I recognize who he is. I honor who he is. I respect who he is. And see, that goes a long way, people of God. Somebody needs to catch this. And see, as women of God, we've got to learn to love, to honor, to respect the male, but also to want them to be present in the lives of our children. If you are a man and a woman of God who have separated, who has gone through divorce, and you're going through some of these things, please know that Apostle Herbie and I are praying for you, because God is now reconnecting marriages. God is restoring marriages. God is solidifying marriages. And God wants us to uphold his holy word in his covenant, because marriage is just not a certificate or a few words or the way you dress to show up for a ceremony. But marriage is a covenant between the spouse, the wife, and guess what? In God. We make a covenant with God when we stand before God and we say, I do. It's more than just saying a few words and dressing up and all of this. No, marriage is work. And if you're not ready for marriage yet, then you need to sit down and allow God to process you. See, the problem is too many, I'm trying not to preach out, too many men and women, they go looking for the man when the word of God tells us that when a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing and he obtains favor from the Lord. So the favor comes with the wife. But the thing about it is we need to learn to wait on God as men of God in order to for God to send us the right mate, to send us the right wife. Because you know what? Men are looking at the purpose that we serve in their lives. But a woman looks at a relationship and a husband and their feelings, they get emotional. They get attached to, oh, I'm going to have a husband and he's going to be my Boaz and he's going to be my this and my that. But we get so emotional. But a husband is looking at, baby, what are you bringing to the table? Are you adding to my life or are you subtracting from it? Are you going to be the catalyst that God wants for me to push me forward in my destiny? Or are you going to be the one that hinders me? See, we've got to know all of these things. The husband is also the priest and he presides. You know, the husband, go ahead. The disciplinary.
No, okay. No.
Go ahead.
No, I want to say something about being
present.
Present.
Go ahead.
Yeah, son. As a man perspective, yes, mm-hmm. And what happens that when you have kids, mm-hmm. when you have kids, when you're married, yes, and a family, yes, and you have to be present. You have to be present, especially in your, yes, in your children's lives, mm-hmm. especially when they're at school, yes, and and they want to play sports.
Yes.
You understand? You know what I'm saying? Yes. You have to be there to support them. You have to be there. You know? You understand? Whatever they're going through in their lives. You know what I'm saying? A lot of kids is under pressure.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And you understand? And what happened? If you are not there for presence, for the life, you understand? Some kids need someone to talk to,
mm-hmm.
a parent to talk to. So it's best, you know what I'm saying, as a dad, mm-hmm. you have to be close to your kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Our kids is teenagers. And you know what I'm saying?
They're adults now.
Okay. Our kid is adults. You understand? You understand? And you understand, right now, We are present in their life.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You understand? If they have to come and talk to you, they will come to you as dad, call mom, so and so to the kid. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You understand? That's a good thing. You know what I'm saying? Instead of yes of you, yes, and we have to guide them.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, instead of they trying to go outside,
mm-hmm.
you know, to talk to, you know, whoever, you know, they had to talk to their friends, whatnot, it's best to come to you.
Mm-hmm.
So you know exactly how to communicate
mm-hmm.
with them.
Yeah, that's good, Apostle. Ooh, that's good. I'm glad I slowed down and moved out the way. Okay, so he's talking about, Apostle Herbie wrapped up on being present in your children's lives as a parent. And as a father, the disciplinary, that is a role that has been given to the father. A lot of times, as a wife, you may share that role because my husband has always been the one that wants to talk to the children and he wants to communicate. When they were growing up, I would be the one growing up that would be more so of the hands-on disciplinary, but we would exchange that role because he said, you know, a lot of times we're raised a certain way. And as parents, we kind of pick and choose the good things that we remember or the bad things. And we choose our battles.
The battles.
Yeah. Right. And so we kind of, from our parents, we pick and choose what is it that worked for us as children and what didn't work. Because, you know, sometimes you can't come at some of your children. You know your children's as a parent. So you have to know how to come at them. So the disciplinary part is with the father as well. So when there's no father in the household, then everything falls back on a mother as single mother. And a lot of times as young men, as the boys become young men, and they end up in adolescent and as a young adulthood, you know, they're lost because they don't have that role model. They don't have that guidance. And so that, again, the castration of men. Apostle, you want to add anything?
Okay, yes. When I was growing up, I'm from Trinidad and Tobago, a Caribbean country. Mm-hmm. And yes, and the way how my dad, yes, come and discipline us. Mm-hmm. And I told myself, when I have, yes, and my own family, mm-hmm. I'll try my best to not to discipline my kids how I was disciplined. Mm-hmm. Because you understand, the things they come and say to you, you understand the curses and what and do this, you know what they say to you. When we come, you understand, and read the word of God, they mm-hmm. say death and life in the power of the tongue. Mm-hmm. And we're not supposed to come and speak curses over absolutely. Our children.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Because you understand, we serve a God that sits high and look low.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But you know what I'm saying? But you understand. To come and discipline for your kids, you know what I'm saying? We have to be stern.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be stern with them. You know what I mean? Yes, and watch the way how we speaking to our kids.
Mm-hmm. A father that has not been castrated in the household and in the lives of his children is both the priest and they also preside. When you think of the priest, you think of the priest presiding in the household. The priest is the one that's the not just the disciplinary, but the one who heads up the prayer in the house, who speaks into the children's life, who speaks over the children's life when they preside in the house. That also goes hand in hand with him being the prophet of the house, the one that's speaking the blessings, like Apostle Herbie said, the one that's not speaking curses, the ones that's uplifting, that's encouraging. That's edifying their children. This is what is void in the houses of single parents, and especially when the father is absent. And so we really need to look at this, especially as men and women of God. Apostle Herbie, you want to talk on these three? The priest, the preside, and the prophet. Okay. A father is always a protector, because if you notice, the children or your kids or a child, even if it's one, they feel safe and secure when they have their father around. You know, a father to a child is like their own giant, their own superhero,
yes, yes, yes.
Their own Iron Man, you know. And I can relate to that because I lost my father at 14. And I'm telling you, not a day goes by that I do not miss him. But he left such an imprint. And he made such an impact in my life that forever transformed who I am and who that God has called me to be. Because even at 14 and before, he would sit down. He would have us to study out the word and expound on the word. He started with me when I was 2 years old. Yes, 2 years old. I was just barely, he would sit me before that, really. But I remember it at 2 years old when he would sit me down. He would always read the word. He would always quote the scriptures. And my mom helped as well. But then the thing about it was that impact, it impacted my life in such a way until I really wanted to know. I wasn't ready because I felt I was too young at times, born and raised in the church. But the thing about it with me was, because of the impact of my father that was in my life for 14 years, it has carried the legacy, a lasting legacy that he instilled within each and every one of us into the lives of our children, his grandchildren, and anyone who knows us. Apostle, you want to touch on that? This one about kind of like what I was saying about the father, the security, you know, what you pick up from your father and things like that.
But Johnson, the kids,
mm-hmm.
as you say, yeah, earlier, mm-hmm. yes, feel safe. Yes, but the father,
mm-hmm.
you know, yes, son, he's around them, and it's best, yes, son, it's best that we, yes, it's best that we talk to them, yes, in a respectable way. So yeah, you know what I mean? So they could come, you understand, you know what I mean? And how could it, and be secured around you.
Okay.
Then we also talked about open up the word for the kids.
Mm-hmm. When fathers, they open up the world for their children. They begin to push us in such a way. They prepare us for what lies ahead. They prepare us for the purpose that God has placed upon our lives. They prepare us to be women. They prepare us to be mothers, along with the nurturing of a mother. And we're going to do something on women, on mothers as well. And so we need to understand that a father opens up a whole new world to the children that they could have never fathomed. Apostle Herbie, you want to touch on that on anything?
But your kids come and look up to their father.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Especially the boys. Mm-hmm. Especially the boys in the house. You know what I'm saying? For the boys, it'd be come after a while and saying, I want to be just like my dad. Or, you know what I'm saying? Or I want to be, you know what I mean? But, you know what I'm saying? But is there... because the way, yes, sir, the relationship the dad, yes, sir, and the children have, yes, sir, it's so special. You know what I'm saying? They want to be around each other, mm-hmm. yes, sir, and trying to see what's next, yes, sir, what next that they could see and do just like the dad.
Mm-hmm. And you know, the thing about it is the unconditional love that a father gives. Not just the unconditional love, but the fathers show love and respect for their partners. The fathers spend quality time with their children. Fathers teach discipline. Fathers teach accountability. And fathers involve themselves, like Apostle Herbie said, in sports and things like that.
Yeah.
But also in their studies.
In their studies also, mm-hmm. yes.
You want to add anything on that?
No.
Okay. We're going to look at some scripture here. I'm looking to see how much we had to go there. Okay. We're going to go to Matthew 19 and verse 12. King James translation, it says, "For there are some eunuchs which were so born from their mother's womb. And there are some eunuchs which were made eunuchs of men. And there be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He that is able to receive it, let him receive it."
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, there are those that were made eunuchs that said, you know what, I'll take this. This is a form of castration of celibacy. And I just, Apostle Herbert, I want to put this in and talk about this just a little bit. And then we're going to move on to other scriptures. We have to understand something, that with a man being castrated, the ways that we can castrate a man as a woman, as a wife, as a mate, and even in their lives, different things. Men can go through physical castration like we just read in Matthew chapter 19, verse 12. They can go through emotional castration. They can go through the physical. They can go through the emotional castration of their minds. They can be go through a castration of their hearts and spirits because they've gone through so much and they've been beat down so much with the words of a woman or a mother or a sibling or, you know, just people in general. That also will cause a man to turn inwardly, where he's gotten to a place that he doesn't really know how to trust himself to receive any type of love when it does come. And it can be pure love. So we talk about the eunuchs that were made eunuchs from their mother's womb, some that were born with some type of genital defect. We talk about in Matthew 19 and 12, we talk about the eunuchs that were made eunuchs by men like kings when they had to keep the courtesans the women in the palaces for the kings. They would take the eunuchs, they would castrate them so that their flesh would be dead and they would be able to help with the women, but they would not sleep with the women because they were physically incapable of it. And then we talk about the eunuchs themselves that have become a eunuch. It was their choice to, for heaven's sakes. And they did it for the preaching of the gospel, for the call of God that's on their lives. So we're going to move on to 12 responsibilities that God has given to men. And we're going to break it down in scripture. Go ahead, Apostle.
In Genesis chapter 1 of verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. Mm-hmm. So in other words, you understand, God come and make us, you understand, in the image of him. He created a male and female.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So the works that he do, we should also do greater works.
Mm-hmm. The Lord created man to work. In Genesis 2 and 5, it says, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work and to keep it. So he put the man in the garden to be a steward, to steward it, to look over it, to be a caretaker of it, to oversee the garden. But notice he was put there to work. The second thing is to be courageous for men. And it says in Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So we need to understand something. Let us begin to build men up more. Let us not castrate them, but let us be the catalyst that pushes them forward and thrust them forward into where God is calling them. Because another thing we need to think about, men do not advance as fast as women do. If you have sons and daughters and you look at the responsibility level when it comes to your daughters versus your sons, it's totally different. Because with girls, they mature faster. They take on responsibility faster. But with the boys, they mature at a slower pace. And so we need to understand that and we need to be patient. Let us make sure that we're joining the fathers to what God's purpose is for their lives. Let's not castrate the men, but let us encourage the men. Let us uplift the men. Let us pray for the men. Let us speak over the men and speak into the men. Let us undergird them and let us allow God to use them. Let us pray for them. If they're not in the church and they're not saved yet, then guess what? Pray for them. But live a life that is pleasing unto God before them. See, women can also run a man. If you are professing that you're saved, but every time you're in the house, all hell is breaking loose and all he's hearing is fussing and you want to fight and you want to cut up and you want to wear the pants, all of this, that turns a man off. So the best thing for you to do is to castrate yourself and stay single. Let's not mess anybody's life up. Just stay single. Stay single and argue by yourself, fuss by yourself, fight by yourself, be by yourself and be happy. I'm just being real. Another thing is to be strong.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and 13, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong.
Act like men. We need to learn that, you know what, the men are the ones that are strong. The men are the ones that are stern. The men are the ones who stand firm. And it's not pleasing for a woman to put on the characteristics of a man. As a matter of fact, it's not for a woman to put on the characteristics of a man. And no, I know women, no, we're not trying to cut women because I'm a woman myself. We're trying to help you. A lot of times you can salvage your marriage if you learn to hush and if you learn to just be submissive to God and ask God to help you submit to your husband. It's not that he wants you under his feet. It's just that he needs you to be a helpmate and not the FBI, the CIA, the DEA, and the patrol. He doesn't need you for that. He doesn't need you to be the game warden. He doesn't need you. Every time he tries to talk to you about something, you want to fuss and argue and carry on, and you want to get loud and ignorant and all of this crazy stuff. That's not what he needs. You have to understand that he may not be where you're at, and he's never going to get there if you keep putting him under your feet. God created men to love.
In Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 to 39. And he, you're talking about Jesus, said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is a great and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself.
Isn't that something? Isn't that something? Love God first. But guess what? Also love your neighbors. Do you love your neighbors? Do you respect your neighbors? Do you treat your neighbors well? But first of all, let's go back to the first part of that. Do you love God? Do you really love God? Then we begin to look at husbands were created to be a husband. That's what a father, a man was created to be. And the men. And it says in Genesis 2 and 24, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Let me help somebody right here. Yes, the word says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, that the man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast and become one flesh with his wife, his spouse. But can I tell you something? That goes for women too. Because guess what? If you are married, your father and your mother has nothing. There cannot be a husband and wife that's one. And you got mama and dad and everybody else in the family and the crew in bed with you. Because what is that? That's mutation. So you know what I will say to you all? Get your house in order. Amen. My Lord. Let's go on down here. The men are created to be the head of his wife, according to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23 to 24. And it says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and it is himself its savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. No, he is not saying I'm going to put you under my feet. No, he is not saying that you got to get down on hands and knees and scrub. That is not what the word is saying. What the word is saying is submit yourself to your husband. Christ is the head of the church, that the husband submits to Christ. He submits to Christ first. But then we need, Christ is saying, and I need you to commit to submit to your husband and be committed to him. Be there to, just be there to undergird him. Be there to lift him up, just like we said. Men were created to serve sacrificially. According to Ephesians 5 and 25, it says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. When a man marries a woman, he has to give everything else up and love that wife like Christ loved the church. Men, that's for you. Also, John chapter 15 and verse 13 says, greater love has no man than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Are you willing to lay down your life and say, you know what? This is the greatest love I have. I'm going to lay this down. And when laying that down, are you able to say, you know what? I've been where you are. Can you look at a man? Can you look at another man and say, man, I've been there where you at. Man of God, I've been there where you at. I know what you're going through. Let me tell you what helped me and my spouse. You know what? Encourage them. Because you know what? I put something on Facebook a few days ago, maybe a week now almost or something. I can't remember when, but I put it up. And I said, sometimes the fire at home is blazing or burning higher, hotter than the fire at the church. What I'm talking about, the house is out of order. The woman's trying to leave. The woman is talking and doing all kind of crazy stuff and acting out and doing all these things. And then all of a sudden, we go to church and we want to be the first one speaking in tongues. We want to be the first one dancing and shouting and want to preach and do all of these things. But you can't even clean your own house up. There was a song years ago that said, sweep around your own front door before you try to sweep around mine. But you know what? And it also goes for men. Men do that the same thing. Sometimes men are the same way. When they get in church, they're totally different. But when they're at home, the woman has no peace. So you know what that means? That means we have to get together in oneness and in love. And we have to work this thing out and ask God, God, I need you to help me. I need you to do a work in me because I'm doing a self-examination. And you know what? It's not about her all the time. You know what, God? Sometimes it's me. Or maybe the man will say, you know what? It's not even about my wife this time. Lord, it's about me. I need you to help me. We need to do a self-examination. Ask God to help us. You know what? There's nothing wrong with marriage counseling. Listen, the best thing you can do is being able to talk to someone who's not going to agree with you to make you feel good, but that's going to tell you the truth regardless of how you feel. That's going to bring the correction, but it's going to bring the growth and the deliverance and restoration in your marriage. With the men, you want to say anything, Apostle?
That's good. That's good.
That's good. Yeah. You got it. Apostle, these yours.
You cover it. You cover it.
Okay. This one. That one.
To be a father. Mm-hmm. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 24. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. He who father a wise son will be glad in him. And then it says Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. Father, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord.
Mm.
Discipline the children.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, son. Or try your best, do your best to discipline them. Yes, and show them the construction. Yes, and of the Lord. Yes, and He leave for us. Yes, and construction mm-hmm. in the Bible. So you know what I'm saying? If you have them, yes, and yes, all you have to do is pick up your Bible and read the instructions in it to help yourself and your child.
Mm-hmm.
Do not provoke your children to anger. Father, do not provoke them to anger. And Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 7. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as a son. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline?
Okay. Fathers are there to be compassionate. Mm-hmm. We've already said to provide, to be accountable and hold their children accountable, but also to be honorable. So we're going to touch on, excuse me, fathers or men to be compassionate. And it's in Psalms 103 and 13, it says, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are the heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. That is according to 1 Peter 3 and 7. I apologize. Psalms 103 and 13 says, as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. We have to have the fear of the Lord in order for him to show us compassion.
Yes, yes.
And I wanted to jump back to 1 Peter 3 and 7 about husbands, the way that you live with your wives in an understanding way. Showing the honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, understanding that there may be some things that she's going through. Because you know what? We don't want men to be castrated. We want men to be in the family. We want men to be in the head of the family. We want men to be able to nurture along. You know, the woman is the nurturer, but also to nurture the marriage, nurture the house, and then go out and lead the churches and the people of God. Amen.
Amen.
In 1 Timothy 5 and 8, it says it deals with to provide. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives and especially for the members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. King James translation says he is an infidel. To be accountable. according to 1 Corinthians 11:3. And it says, but if I want you to understand that the head of every man is Christ, the head of a wife is her husband. Somebody better catch that. And the head of Christ is God. Let me read this one more time. The head of man is Christ. The head of the wife is the husband. Somebody better get that. And the head of Christ is God. So the head of every man is Christ. So Christ is over the man. The man is over the wife. And the head of Christ is God. Come on, somebody. According to 1 Corinthians 11:3, y'all need to write that scripture down and read that, meditate on, let that marinate in your spirit. Ingest it so that your spirit man in your heart, in your mind, can digest it. My God. To be honorable. Go ahead, Apostle.
The righteous who walks in his integrity, blessed are his children after him. In Proverbs 20:7. And in Philippians 4:8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things.
My Lord.
Yes, Lord.
All right, let me look at something here. All right, we almost there, y'all. We're going to look at, hold on, I got to do something here. One second, people. All right. So what the Bible says about fathers, fatherhood was one of the first responsibilities God gave men. Mm-hmm. Fatherhood was one of the first jobs God gave to men. And immediately after the Lord created Adam and Eve, God commanded them to be fruitful and multiply, according to Genesis 1:28. One of his primary purposes, talking about the Lord, for marriage was offsprings who would fill the earth with God's praise and glory. My God, we need to look at a few of these verses about describes the role of a father. And it's going to be Psalms 103:13. I think we just read it. We just read that one. Don't worry about that one. Hold on. Let me look, because I think some of these we already read. Okay, I'm going to jump down here. We're going to look at the characteristics of a godly father. This is what Apostle Herbie and I are praying for God to restore fathers to the families, for God to restore marriages, but also that the men would begin to seek out, pursue, and go after their first love, to become one with the Father again, to raise up families. Because anyone who knows marriage is between a man and a woman, a male and a female. Why? Because the Lord created us to procreate. That's why he said to multiply. The only way that the earth is going to be multiplied is between a male and a female. And that is what God is telling us. So even in this hour, with all the crazy stuff we see going on, I tell people all the time, I've heard some things going around on social media, and I don't get into all this crazy stuff, but I heard something going around, and all I heard in my spirit was woman with womb. Okay, when people begin to say, what is a woman? A woman is a woman with a womb. God gave a woman a womb that are women, that are created to be women. He gave us a womb. Why? So that we can procreate. We are the bringer of life. That'll preach, but I'm going to leave that right there. So we're going to look at the 10 characteristics in our closing of a godly father. A godly father knows God. It should be without stating. But when men want their children to have a relationship with God, but do not have that relationship themselves, then children will begin to model what they see. So godly fatherhood begins within the heart of a man. So men, when you want your children to stay on the straight and narrow, you want your children to seek the Father, seek after God for the will of God for their lives, then guess what? You have to be the role model. You have to be the blueprint. You have to be the example in your house yourselves. The next thing?
Sharon also. Mm-hmm. Sharon is looking. Mm-hmm. You understand? At their parents, at the dad. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because they're trying to come and see what their dad and their mom is communicating. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Is doing in the household. So they're trying to come mimic what your youngster is doing. So if you're trying to do the right thing, they will try. You have to do it. Try to do the right thing with you.
Yes, yes, that's good, Apostle. Very good.
A godly father loves and honor his wife. It has been said that the best gift a father can give his children is to love their mother. Even if a man is divorced or single, he can still mother respectfully behavior towards his children. Mother, children imitate what they see.
Yes.
So you have to cherish your wife. You got to love your wife. Yes. You got to give them respect. In order to get respect, you got to give the other person respect. Mm-hmm. You got to show respect.
Yes, that's good, Apostle. That's good. You want to do the next one?
A godly father expect responsibility for their children, spiritually training, while providing financially for a family in an important responsibility for fathers. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, it is not their only responsibility. A father must encourage Christian character in his children by his example as well as his word of instruction and the expectation and behavior he sees forth for the enforce with his children.
Yes, yes.
You have to show responsibility. Mm-hmm. You have to be responsible. Mm-hmm. You understand? You have to be responsible. So, you understand? So when your kids, you understand, is seeing you responsible, so they tell themselves, you know what? My dad been responsible, so I can be responsible too. Mm-hmm. You know? Sometimes you have to encourage your kids, mm-hmm. you know, encourage yourself, brother mm-hmm. person.
A godly father is continually aware of his influence. Fathers may not realize it, but everything they do is influencing their children's lives. Words alone are not enough. With the castration of men, a lot of this happens when there's a divorce, when there's a separation, and women end up in the single household. But we as women, we have to realize that sometimes we have to take responsibility as well. Because we have sometimes enabled fathers that are even in the household. This is not just for the divorced husbands and the ones that are separated. But this is also for husbands that are in the house. And we're training up our sons and daughters to mimic how a wife or their mother is treating their father disrespectfully. How a wife is trying to be the one that wears the pants. How a wife is the one that is not allowing the man to be a man. They're being treated like a child. So, you know, we as women have to accept responsibility too. And if that is you, women of God, if that is you that is fighting, that is really seeking after God for direction, then you need to say, you know what, God, that was me. I need to repent. I need to get it right. I need to get back on focus. I need to get myself together. I need to learn how to release and relent and allow this man to be the man that God created him to be. There's a difference between a grown man and a grown boy. See, we got to the man and the men. We got to understand this. Everybody that's grown doesn't mean if a man, just because a man is a grown man age-wise does not mean that their intellect has caught up with them to be that 25 or 30 year old man. They may still be functioning at the intellect when it comes to being a father, being a parent, being a husband, being a spouse, at the intellect of an 18 or 20 year old. Why? because they mimic and they mimic what they've been taught. They mimic what they see. They mimic the role model. They mimic if it was a man in the household. And a lot of times when there are men that marry strong women, a lot of times it's because they've been raised by a single mother. And so, yet again, castration of men, because these men don't learn what it is to be a strong, stern man in the household, because all they have is their mother. And so this is a vicious cycle that we, as a body of Christ in the church, we've got to reboot. We've got to do some things about this and change it. We've got to change the scenario. We've got to change the outcome. Amen.
Amen.
You want to say anything, Apostle? Okay. A godly father models selfless service. Much of Jesus' earthly life was given to serving others. As followers of Jesus, we are to imitate that service according to Matthew 20 and 28. Godly fathers figure out ways to involve their children in acts of service. My Lord. And we do that. We do that so well. You want to add anything, Apostle? Okay.
A godly father is consistent. Mm-hmm. Nothing confuses children more than inconsistency. Either is discipline or example. A father that is loving 1 minute, mm-hmm, and angry the next create insecurity in his children. Mm. Things happen, y'all. You know, so Yansan can do your best. You know, Yansan to stay. Yansan consistently.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And try Yansan and do your best to discipline your children, Yansan, the right way.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best I can give you. Yeah. A godly father disciplines his children appropriately. Discipline is a part of child rearing and should not be ignored or slowly delegated. To the mothers, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 9 to 10, remind us that earthly father disciplines us for our own good, and our heavenly father does the same. A godly father does not allow himself to be controlled by outside influence. Addictions such as alcohol or drugs often create a home environment marked by insecurity, fear, and depression. Fathers that display addictive behavior often teach their children to do the same.
Mm.
Yeah, be careful, y'all. Yeah, be careful. A godly father is a man under authority. Due to his sinful nature, a man will fight to be his own boss. However, Jesus demonstrated that he was a man under the authority of his heavenly Father.
Mm-hmm.
He readily gave credit to God for his success and submitted himself fully to the will of God.
My Lord.
Yes, and God is our heavenly Father. You know what I'm saying? We have to come, Yansan can do the right thing. We have to come and trust God. Yansan, what Yansan he telling us to do. A godly father is a man under authorities. So Yansan, so we under God's authority.
Mm-hmm.
A godly father will lead. The world is desperate need of men who will lead wisely.
Mm-hmm.
Leadership is not demonstration, domination, or control. A leader is one who goes first. He sets the pace for his family by practicing what he preaches. Mm. He is on the lookout for danger and takes actively to protect his family from them. He is a man that his children can be proud of. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 6. What I can say to that in Janssen, I can say is, men, we have to take our rightful place, mm-hmm. back to the church, back to God. You know what I'm saying? It's time to lead your family. It's time to yes. come and lead, especially your marriage. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? The best thing to do is communicate. Communication is the key to any relationship. Mm-hmm. So what I can say, use wisdom. Use wisdom in all things. And put God first.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That's good. That's good, Apostle. We need to also understand something. The National Center for Fathers of Fathering says that 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes, according to the U.S. Department of Census, 5 times the average. 90% of all homeless and runaway children are from the fatherless homes, 32 times the average. We're just giving you some statistics here in closing. Give me a minute here. Pull my screen. I can widen my screen to get the statistics right. Okay. 85% of all children who show behavior disorders come from fatherless homes, which is 20 times the average, according to the CDC. 80% of rapists with anger problems come from fatherless homes, which is 14 times the average, according to the Justice and Behavior Council, Volume 14, pages 403 to 426. Let me see here. I'm just want to give some statistics. 71% of all high school dropouts come from fatherless homes, which is 9 times the average, according to the National Principals Association report. Fathers in education. Children with fathers who are involved are 40% less likely to repeat a grade in school. Children with fathers who are involved are 70% less likely to drop out of school. Children with fathers who are involved are more likely to get A's in school. Children with fathers who are involved are more likely to enjoy school and engage in extracurricular activity. 75% of all adolescent patients in chemical abuse, drugs they're talking about, centers, come from fatherless homes, 10 times the average. Isn't that something, y'all? Drug and alcohol, they're talking about research of the Columbia University found that children living in a two-parent household with a poor relationship with their father are 68% more likely to smoke, to drink, or to use drugs compared to all teens in a two-parent household. Teens in a single mother household are at a 30% higher risk than others in a two-parent household. Look at this. I'm telling you, this, you know what? These statistics are really, really mind-blowing. They're mind-blowing. They're mind-boggling. Those are just a few statistics that Apostle Herbie and I wanted to share. Did you want to share anything else? Okay. All right. So we wanted to just come on here and to talk about the castration of men, to talk about the need for fathers to be back in the head of the household where God intended for us to know that the husband is the head and they are the stronger vessel. They are the head. We are the weaker vessel. We are the neck if you're a strong woman. And we just need to learn how to encourage our mates, encourage our spouses. Yeah. I tell people all the time, if you want marriage counseling from someone, which is something Apostle Herbie and I do offer, but if you want marriage counseling from someone, look at the fruits. How is their marriage? How can they tell you anything if they haven't mastered the skills themselves? Let that marinate in your spirit. Okay. Anything else you want to add, Apostle?
Yes, yes, son. I just want to say, son, in closing, men, take your rightful place. Stand up, yes, son. Stand up for God and stand up for your family.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I got.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. So we just want to thank you all for coming on here today, for being a part of this. We hope and we pray that this is going to bless some people. We pray that this is going to help some men. We pray that this is going to help some women, the spouses, to understand. Women, let your husband lead. Women, encourage your husband. And I wanted to throw something else in here too, Apostle. Women, we need to realize something. We have to be on one accord with our spouse. We cannot allow our children or anybody else have us on two different pages. It is so important. It is so important. There are so many men that are being castrated physically, emotionally, and mentally in their own households. Why? Because the children are running the house and the children are running to their moms and the moms are not supporting their fathers. This cannot be allowed. And let me say this. If you are a professing woman of God, and especially if you are a minister of the gospel, you are out of order. I want to deliver that myself personally. I want you all to know, if you see something going on with your spouse, pray about it. But never allow your children to talk rudely, to be disrespectful, to be threatening. To be rude, to just be ugly to your husband. Because you know what? Just because they don't say anything doesn't mean they don't feel castrated. Doesn't mean that they don't have peace in their own home. They know it's gotten to the place in a lot of homes, and these are Christian professing people, that men don't even feel like they have respect in their own homes. Let me tell you, my mama said, my mom told us, when you get 18, you own your own. Why? And she would say every grown person belong in their own home. My father did not feel that way. But you know what? Sometimes in order to keep peace in your house between your husband and your wife, if there is an issue with a child, and if that child is 18 and above, then guess what? It's time to tell them, baby, I love you. I have given you the roots and now I'm giving you the wings, because there has to be peace in this house. If you are guilty as a husband or even as a wife, and you find that you have allowed this to go on in your house, you have allowed all of this stuff to be going on and your house is out of order, your house is in chaos and it's in disarray, then you know what? The good thing about that is all you have to do is repent to God. Ask God to forgive you. Talk to your husband. Ask your husband to forgive you. And from this day forward, move on in unity and oneness and in love. Don't allow the child or a family member, a parent, or anybody else to come and try to cause any type of division, isms, and schisms between you and your spouse. Men, that go for you as well. God bless you and God keep you. Apostle, amen. That's it.
That's it.
Thank you all for joining us. Again, I am Apostle Rosemary of Let's Talk About It podcast. This is my wonderful, awesome husband, who is the co-host of Let's Talk About It podcast. And our ministries is RCN Ministries, as well as our apostolic network is OSGA, Apostolic Network, which stands for One Sound Global Alliance. God bless you and God keep you. Check our websites out. Just look us up on Google, RCN Ministries or OSGA, and you're going to find us. Our podcast and all of the other wonderful things we're doing globally. We're called to senior leaders, leaders, and emerging leaders. We know our tribe. You need to find yours. Connect, schedule a call with us to see if you fit our tribe. God bless you. God keep you until we see you guys again on our podcast next month. Have a blessed, blessed morning.